We are going to do two sessions today and next week, looking at the topic of leadership. Now, leadership specifically in the local church, even more specifically here in Grace Church. Now, you might think, well, that's a strange topic to tackle with everybody. Surely you're only going to do that with those who are in leadership and who carry leadership responsibility. Well, actually, what I want to do is apply this to everybody and show how we all carry some responsibility in one sense. So I want to be able to open that up and show that that does apply, in fact, or this does apply, in fact, to everybody. Why are we doing it now? Well, we've made a few adjustments to the structure of the way our leadership team works in Grace Church. Very minor adjustments, really, in one sense. Those who are affected already know, so don't worry, we're not springing it on people who it affects. But it's good to communicate that to everybody, so you understand how we do go about that here. So you've got an understanding of that. And also, I think it's good when we all understand that, as we move forward and as we move on, we can see why we do it that way, and the fact that if we get some of the structural things right, it means that as we do all the other things we're called to, that we've got a good foundation and basis to bring people into. So I want to show that this is applicable to all of us. I'm going to relate this into serving in a wider context. And I'm also hopefully going to show that leadership is not just about doing something like this in a meeting. It's far wider than that. It's not always a public thing. So we're going to look at that. I want to be very careful to talk about this as a role, not as a position. That's a really important distinction to make. We're not talking about positions of leadership, we're talking about roles of leadership. I want to emphasize the fact, and I'll say this probably a number of times, there is no hierarchy. None at all. This is not about hierarchy. And the reason I want to emphasize that is because for a lot of us, we have worked or do work or are at schools where hierarchy is definitely there and is often used as a means of reward. So if you do well, we'll promote you. You will get a better job with more money and it's higher up. Whatever that means. Maybe it's to make you feel better than other people. Well, that is not the case in the local church. Leadership is not about hierarchy. It's not about being better. It's not about progressing up a ladder. It's about a particular role or responsibility that God has given you to do, that's been delegated to you. So we want to make sure that we get that right. We're going to look at two biblical models. We're going to look at Exodus and we're going to look at Acts. And these are models of church structure, or emerging models. I'll be careful I say that. The word emerging has been labelled with a number of churches recently. These are models of how leadership structures emerged in these times. Let's put it that way. And I will say no more on that. In fact, it would help if I had my Bible with me to look up a couple of things. So let's read this. Let's read Exodus 18, 13 to 24. It's up on the screen. It goes over to the next slide as well. The next day, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you're doing for the people? Why do you sit alone, and all the people stand around you from morning till evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me, and I decide between one person and another, and I make them know the statutes of God and his laws." Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you're doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out. For the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. Now obey my voice. I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God. And you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe. and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you. You will be able to endure, and all this people also will go to their place in peace. So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. This is a great illustration of delegated leadership, but it's also an illustration of leadership for a time. You see, what happened there is we all know that Moses was leading the Israelites. He was their leader. Everybody knows that. That's what he was doing. But at that moment, Jethro, his father-in-law, came up to him and said, "Listen to me. You need to do this." And at that point, he was leading him. Now, I think I've just... Sorry, wrong way. I'm just getting used to some new technology here. So let me go back a couple of slides, because I've missed a bit. It will get smoother. Before we go into looking at that, I want to define what leadership is, because I think that would be helpful for us before we start looking at the structure of that. So what is it? Well, as I've said, it's a role, not a position, to start with. But the Bible doesn't really give us a very neat explanation and a nice two lines on, this is leadership. It doesn't do it. In fact, what it does is it defines character of a leader more so than the role itself in a neater way. And so what we'll do is, as we're looking at the structure of it today, we'll look at the character of a leader next week. That'll be the second part. But I want to put a definition to you of leadership. Here's how I've defined it for the sake of this. A leader is someone who has influence over others and someone who others follow because of that influence. That's how I am defining leadership. Now, I know it's broader than that in one sense, and there's so much to it. People have written books on it. They've done teaching series on it. There's just probably more information on leadership available than is really helpful. Because in the end, what it boils down to is this whole thing of influence. Of course, someone is only a leader if people are following them. You can't be a leader without followers, so that makes sense. And leadership works in many different ways. Let me say something about what it's not as well, because when you use the word influence, it can actually worry people. Leadership is not domineering. It's not controlling. It's not forceful. Okay, so when we talk about influence, it's not a controlling influence or a forceful influence. And so we'll look at that Old Testament bit, which we'll do now, which I read to you. And we'll look at the New Testament, we'll look at Acts, and we'll look at how that applies to us. Now, as I was saying, Moses and Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came up to him and said, "Listen to me, let me tell you something that I've observed, that what you're doing is not good. Carrying all this alone, it's not good for you." And guess what? Moses listened to him and put things into place because of that. And so what happened at that moment, Jethro led Moses. Jethro was not the leader of the Israelites, but at that moment he provided some leadership to Moses that Moses needed. And so for that time, Jethro was displaying some influence, some skills of a leader. He'd noticed something, he talked about it, and he influenced him. He led him in a good way, in a right way, to do something different. So leadership can be for a moment. At that point there. But what was Moses doing that was wrong? Well, Moses was leading the people. He was inquiring of God. So he was standing there or sitting there. People were coming with their disputes and their problems. This is the pastoral work. Moses was pastoring them, shepherding them. He was looking after them. Nothing wrong with that. But that's what he was doing. And he was also letting them know the statutes and laws of God, teaching and preaching. So he was doing that as well. And he was doing it from morning till evening. And you get the sense when you read it that he was doing it every day. Because this is why Jethro was concerned. He was saying, "You're going to wear yourself out. You are heading for a burnout. This isn't good. It's not going to be good for you. It's not going to be good for the people. Because you'll be no good for the people if you've burnt yourself out. Something has got to change. Now, what Jethro didn't do is leave it there. He didn't say, that's not right, you've got to change that, and then walk off. That wouldn't have been particularly helpful to Moses. What he did was provide a solution. He came up and pointed out where he saw it was wrong, and he said, but this is what I think would help you. And he gave him a model for church leadership and the structure for the group of people that were there, the body of people that were there. He said, appoint some able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe. Place such men over the people. Place them over the thousands, the hundreds, the fifties and the tens. He broke it down. It was the first small groups, life groups, community groups, whatever you want to call it. That's what he was creating there. That's what he was doing. And next week, when we talk about character, because it is important who these people were, the fact they were trustworthy, they wouldn't take a bribe, we'll talk about that next week, because that'll come under the character part. For now, we're talking about the structure here. And so really, that's analogous to what we do. We have groups that meet in the week called community groups, which we're currently going through a process of evolution with those. Where they're moving to life groups, and I talked about that a few weeks ago, and that recording is available on the website. But this is what they were doing there. This is what we do. We spread the load. We don't have just a few people that do it like Moses was. We're actually saying to people, look after one another. Lead one another. Help one another. Now, there are leaders in those groups. And when there are things that maybe get too difficult or they don't have time to deal with something, then of course there are people to turn to who have maybe more experience in a particular area or can have got, you know, time to help with that, such as the elders. And so we have a similar structure already to this. Let's look at another example in Acts chapter 6. Slightly different, but some similarities. Let me read this to you. Acts 6, 1 to 7. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. So what we've got here is the early church. Jesus was no longer amongst them. He'd been to the cross. He'd risen. He'd ascended to the right hand of the Father. He was back with God. And the church here were growing. They were increasing in number. When an increase in number happens, it shows up all the little bits that aren't quite right. And what happened was a particular group, the Hellenists, said, hang on, we are not getting what we need. We're being missed out of the daily distribution, the food, the provisions. What they did is they shared amongst one another, so no one went without. But there was a group missing out. So they said, whoa, this isn't right. So the leaders, the 12, those who were leading that church, got together and said, okay, we need to do something about this. We've got to delegate. Because what was happening was they were saying, well, we can't do it because that's not our role to do the waiting on tables, to do that part of it. It's not to say they were demeaning that. They were just saying, that's not our role. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. So what they did is they found some people. And again, just as we saw in the time of Moses, there were some qualifications for these people, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. good repute. Again, we'll look at that bit next week because it's important and we need to do that as a stand, you know, on its own and give good time to that. But it was distracting the apostles from their role. So what they said is, come on guys, we've got to step up. We need help. We need people to be mobilized. We need people to serve. And so they appointed people. As they grew, they appointed people. Now some argue from this passage here that these were the first deacons. There are three names given in the New Testament to leadership roles. They talk about apostles, they talk about elders, and they talk about deacons. So what are they? Well, apostles. Apostles do this. They plant churches. They establish elderships in those churches to then look after those churches. They provide foundations, foundational teaching and relationship to those in that local church. That is what apostles are doing here. They are establishing the church. They're preaching the good news. What happens is they go out, they preach the good news, people are saved. Then they say, well, that's a church now. We've got a church because the church are those people. We need to raise up leaders. So they appoint leaders and then they put in some foundational teaching and then that is a local church. Then they move on and they do it again. And then they sort of oversee those churches. Elders. So those elders are established in the church and they are there to lead the church. It is delegated to them to be the shepherds, the people who look after the church, look after the people. They have accountability and relationship with the apostles that planted them there. And that's what the elders do. And then in the New Testament, we have this role of deacons. And actually, this is referred to in different ways, or rather translated in different ways. And it generally is about serving and is often delegated in a leadership role from the elders. Now, we are familiar with elders. We have elders here. We have three elders. And those elders, as a team, not as one person, as a team, are responsible before God for leading the church. That's what the elders are there for. Always plural, never singular. It's a team of people. As Moses was told, this is too heavy for you alone. Okay? This is too heavy for Moz and for Ben and for me on our own and not a healthy place to be. We believe in team leadership as we see it in the Bible. And we're increasingly familiar with the term apostle because as we relate into the family of churches of New Frontiers, we come under what is being called the apostolic sphere, the sphere of influence. There's that word influence again, sphere of leadership. Of a particular guy who's been appointed to do that, Dave Devenish. And not just appointed, but he's the guy who got churches planted in Birmingham and in various places, and those churches people came out of to plant here. And so he has provided that apostolic input to many churches in the UK, and we're part of that apostolic group or sphere. As we're calling it. So we're becoming increasingly familiar with the apostolic. But I don't think we're hugely familiar with the term deacons because it's been used in many different ways over the years in many different churches. So depending on your experience, depends on what you think a deacon is. It could be someone who leads a church. It could be someone who counts the money. It could be, it's just huge. I've seen a huge number, seen it applied in a huge number of ways. And in the New Frontiers family of churches, it's not a name that's used very often. And so it's good for us to understand it, even if we don't use the name, because what we want to do is learn what the role entailed, not necessarily worried about what it's called. And actually, it can be translated as serve, or it can often be translated as a leader that's been delegated authority from the elders. In Acts 6 here, it's not conclusive as to what that is. It's usually translated as serve, not as lead in Acts 6. So we can't say from Acts 6 that these guys were delegated as leaders. But I'd suggest that when the seven of them picked and the church was growing, they probably had teams of people with them. I think they probably were put in you know, to look to oversee things and given some leadership responsibility. The important thing is, though, is that the emphasis here, when this word is used, this deaconing role, the emphasis is always on serving. Whether it's in a leadership capacity or not, the emphasis is always on serving. In fact, when you look at the New Testament, all the emphasis on leadership is serving. Whether you're looking at elders, apostles, deacons, whatever you want to call them, the emphasis is on serving. And this was modelled by Jesus, as we can see here from Matthew 20, 28. The Son of Man, Jesus, came not to be served, but to serve and give up his life for many. Jesus set the model of leadership as leading as a servant. If you look at John 13, no need to look it up, I'm not going to read it, but it's the time where Jesus was in a room with his disciples. They'd come in from a dust, from walking, and their feet are all dusty, and the custom was they'd sit down and a servant would come and wash their feet. But there was no servant there. So what happened? Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Surely he was above that. He's Jesus, the Son of God. No, he came to say, I'm here to serve. And to show an example of servanthood. To show an example of saying, I'm going to lead you in this way and show you that to come and lead means to come and serve. And he washed their feet. The role of a servant. Jesus' whole leadership was built on foundations of serving. That's how his leadership was built. And today we want to see, well, how do we apply that role, that deaconing role in Grace Church? What do we do about that? How do we do that? Because if we get this right, when you look at Acts 6, 7, what happened when they did it? It says the church continued to grow. Numbers were added to them. It grew. In other words, the problem that they had, because they put in and delegated leadership and got people serving, it meant that people weren't being missed out, getting disillusioned, leaving, not joining because, well, you don't want to go there, they don't look after you. You see, it solved a problem, it stopped a bottleneck, and people were added and the place grew. It was growing already. What it did is it enabled them to continue to grow. What we want to do here, and as I talked about a couple of weeks ago with our groups that meet in the week, our community groups, was we want to make sure they're in a position, and we want to do this with the leadership too, that as we grow, we continue to grow. Whether it's ones and twos that we continue to grow by, or whether it's more. Whatever God decides to do with us, I want to make sure we're ready. We want to make sure that we have a structure that means when people are added, saved and added to Grace Church, that they're discipled, they're looked after, they increase in their knowledge and their relationship with Jesus, and they too then go out and make disciples. That's what we want to do. That's what we want to see. This is about releasing people into the right roles so that we can function well. So how do we apply that here in Grace Church? Well, ever since Grace Church began, we have had people who have led things, various things, and as they led things, they were added to something called the Extended Leaders Team. And it didn't matter what they were leading, they were part of that team. And that served us really well, really well, because people were stepping up to serve, and we met four times a year. And what's happened, though, over the years is that that team has grown and become more diverse. Community group leaders, finance leaders, Grace Church kids leaders, all sorts of other leaders and leaders of leaders and, you know, lots of leaders. It's become a diverse group and a large group, and it's got to the point where we are finding it hard to serve the people in that group well in terms of the needs, in terms of training, in terms of the different needs you have in the different ways you serve. And it's also getting really hard to fit in a room because there's more and more people. And so what we're going to do is we've said we are going to not meet together as a big team like that any longer. And we're going to have more of an emphasis on the teams of people that are here. So team of community group leaders, team of Grace Church kids servers, a team of musicians, a team of this and of that and of the other. And we are going to have, now we've already got that, so it's not a massive change. What we're saying though is we need to have more of an emphasis on building teams, of people realizing they're part of a team, and so as a team can grow as a team and have their needs met as a team in terms of training and all that kind of stuff. And so it's helpful for us to do that. So we've already got that kind of model that we've seen in Exodus, but we'll have more emphasis on the teams rather than all together. What that will give us is a greater ability to grow, to add more leaders, to look after more leaders. That's what it'll give us. And it'll help us to release more people into leadership. So in Grace Church, we have elders. And in Grace Church, we have leaders of teams. And those leaders of teams are overseen by the elders. So the elders have each got responsibilities to oversee particular teams and team leaders. What we'll also be doing from time to time, which we have done in the past, we'll be looking at that, the way Jethro was with Moses. We'll be looking as when elders, we tackle particular issues and things that we're doing, not issues like, I don't know, how we're going to take forward this area of the church and the strategic direction of this. We're going to say, well, hang on, I know that the three or four people in Grace Church have got experience of that, so let's get them in. Let's get them in to help us as elders to say, this is where we're going. This is what we're doing. Help us do that. Just like Jethro had a different perspective, so could help Moses, we want people to help us. So we're going to be looking for input in that way too. We're not just going to call on people who are leading things, we're going to just call on people who we think, yeah, they will help. They will be able to help in that. So we're going to be doing that as well. Now, finding your place. So far, I've talked about leadership in terms of various roles within Grace Church, but I want this to apply to everyone in one sense. You see, you may say, well, I'm not a leader. I never will be a leader. I don't want to be a leader. It might not be your thing. You say, oh, no way. I'm not called to be a leader. That's that. And that's fine. But in one sense, actually, we are all called to lead. How is that? Well, my definition that I had earlier in terms of influence means that we all have influence of one degree or another on those we meet, those we see, those outside the church, those inside the church. And whether you're an elder or whether you're leading someone to Christ, you're having an influence. And so there's an element there where you're leading someone. Now, that means that, you know, you may not lead a group. You may not lead groups of people. But actually, we're all called to lead people to Jesus. We're all called to make disciples. That is a calling on all of us. That is what the New Testament tells us. Now, you may say, well, that's stretching the point a bit just to make it apply to everybody. But actually, I would say it is important that we understand that we have influence. And it's not always a good influence. We don't always know, do we, how we're influencing somebody. I know that there are people who have influenced me over my life that people would say they're not leaders, but they've influenced me. They may not even know they've had influence on me. But like Jethro had influence on Moses and led him into a greater understanding of what needed to be done. People have led me that way without even knowing it. And I think there is a sense that we all are like that. We all lead one another in some way, shape or form. But we don't call it leadership. But it's important we know we have influence on one another. Now, for some, that will be the only kind of leadership they exercise. That they have led someone to Christ and they're discipling them. And they may think, well, I am just one step ahead of them in my understanding. But that's fine. That's all you need to be. That's all you need to be. You need to be one step ahead and say to people, come, you take that step. I've just taken that and this is how it worked for me. Come and take that step. You're leading them. You are taking them forward. That is leadership. And that may be the only kind of leadership that some are called to. Some may be called to lead a few, some 10, some 50. Men and women. Some may be called, some men, a few men, may be called to eldership. I'm not going to go into the eldership is male thing now, but that's what we believe and that's what we teach. Happy to have that conversation another time. Even fewer will be called to be apostles. But we're all called to be witnesses and to make disciples and to lead people well in that. And that's nothing to do with how long you've been a Christian for. Time is irrelevant in one sense in that. There are some people who've been Christians a long time that are actually, they just haven't moved on very far. And there are Christians that have been a Christian for a short time and they are just going for it. It's not about that. It's the Bible talks, again, more about character, and we go for character over gifting anytime. So if I was looking for, if we were looking for someone to lead a community group or a life group, and they were just incredibly gifted, but actually character-wise just needed some more time, I would rather someone who was less gifted at leading the group, but whose character was more well-developed, be leading it. That's what I prefer. Because character is contagious. It leaks out of people and they influence people in that. And actually sometimes lead without needing to be really amazingly gifted. I'm not saying gifting's not important, but actually character is so important. And we'll look at that more next week, as I've said. And even if we're not all called to lead, although as I've said, in one sense we are certainly all called to serve. And whether you translate that word deacon as someone who's got some leadership responsibility or whether they serve, serving is still the key. And I know for some, it's quite possible that you think, well, where do I serve? What's my place? I don't know where to do it or what to do. Well, find something you're good at, find something you enjoy, and that's usually what God's called you to do. And it doesn't matter whether that's putting out chairs, taking someone a meal during the week, which has been going on this week, or whether it's doing this, it's just serving, and it's all valid, and it's all equal. I, doing this, am not serving any better. I wasn't saying to the person who put the chairs out, I put a lot of the chairs out. But then the person who stacked the cups at the back, who put the tables out, who cooked a meal for Moz and Claire last week. It's serving. It's what we're all called to do. And we must understand that there's no hierarchy. Now, the roles are needed. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, well, everybody should do this. And, well, if this is no better, then we don't need it. I'm just saying it's no better. We still need it. We need people to function in the right places so we can grow as a church. Now, I want to do something very quickly, a very quick aside here. Can't talk about leadership without talking about men. Men, if you're married, you're a leader. And there's no way you can get out of it. Sorry. I know, because I've tried. No, I haven't really. I was just checking you were all awake. We're called to lead as men. We're called to lead our wives, our families, our households. It's what we're called to. The Bible teaches it. 1 Corinthians 11:3 and Ephesians 5:23, 27. I'm not going to read them out now. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says the man is the head of the house. Ephesians 5:23, 27 gives a bit of detail on that. And actually it says you're to love your wife as Christ and lead your wife as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? He gave himself up for the church. He died for the church. He sacrificed for the church. Guys, that's what we're called to. That's leadership. and there's no getting out of it. And actually, what we need, what the local church needs, is men who will stand up and lead their families, who lead their kids, who lead their wives. Sometimes this can be misunderstood. It's not misunderstood in the Hodgson household. Sometimes this can be misunderstood and say, what, the man, is this about the man being in charge and being the best and dominating? Again, no, it's not domineering, it's not controlling, it's not forceful, it's sacrificial, it's about sacrifice, it's about giving yourself up. That's what it's about. We need men who will lead well before God. And I think we'll probably touch on that more with the character side of things next week. But I just couldn't let that one go while we're talking about leadership, to say, guys, we have a responsibility. And let me say, if you're not married, you may well be one day. If you've got a girlfriend, start leading her this way now. Treat her this way now. Treat her with sacrifice. Treat her the way Jesus treated the church. Put her high up. Be interested in her spiritually as well as any other way. Because I tell you what, that'll be a powerful start. And it'll be great foundations. Guys, we've got to take responsibility. And that's what we've got to do. So, in conclusion, let me draw this together. Why does this matter? Why do I teach on this here at Grace Church? The local church functions best when there's a biblical model of leadership. And it's also important that all of us know what that is and our part in that and the part we're playing in that. It allows us to function well. Now, we know we don't have everything right, but we believe we're moving in the right direction with all of this, with what we're doing with this. We want to release the right people into the right roles, and we are going to be asking people where necessary to lead teams. And it might be that it's people that have never led anything before. Can I reassure you that if we ask you to lead a team, it's because we think you're the right person for it. Please don't say, I could never do that. We honestly, if we ask you to lead something, it's because we think you're the person to do it. And it's not about how much experience you've got. All of this is with the aim of being a healthy, biblical, functioning church. About having the right people doing the right things so we can fulfill all that God's called us to in Bromsgrove. We, here in Bromsgrove, want to reach the people of Bromsgrove. It's on there, on our vision. We want to reach the people of Bromsgrove and let that go out as influence to the ends of the earth. To do that, we need to be functioning well and biblically. We want to be an authentic and spirit-filled community. We want to be a community full of the Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit, authentic, with right relationships, where we need to lead well and biblically, where we need to serve well and biblically, where we need to be led well and biblically. And in all of this, we want to glorify God in all we do. As we go and preach the gospel, we've got an Alpha course coming up soon. Please invite people on it. Take the risk. Get out and invite people. Because sometimes I know it can be, you think, oh, I don't know whether I can share the gospel in that situation. Bring them to the Alpha course and we'll do it for you. We'll share the gospel. Believe me, they'll get the gospel in all its glory. We want to see people saved and added to the church. What do we want to see them added to? A functioning, biblical, healthy, local church where they can be discipled and grow and go out and do the same and reproduce and reproduce and reproduce disciples. That's what we want to do. And as I've said, this is only half the story, because next week we need to look at the character of a leader, the character that leaders are called to, how we're supposed to be. And again, it's a healthy thing to apply to everybody, because it's good stuff. And so we'll do that. So if you're not going to be here next week for any reason, please grab it as soon as it goes online, because this bit here is not complete without it. It's only half time. And if there's someone going to be here next week, and you know that, and they haven't been here this week, get them to grab this bit, because the two bits go together. And it's important to get both bits. It'll give us a far more rounded picture of leadership in the local church. I hope that's been helpful. That's the end of that bit. There are two things, though, I want to tell you before I let you go and get your kids. And I've got to do this. Next week will be the first week of us getting rid of the break at Grace Church together. We've all the time we've had a break in between where people can get drinks and food and stuff. We can carry on getting drinks and food and stuff. But actually, we don't have a lot of time here together. So we want to look at getting rid of that and doing things slightly differently. So next week, we'll actually have the preaching first. And then we'll have the worship second. It's all worship. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? The musical worship bit. Or the bit of worship that involves music and all that. Anyway, we're going to do it that way round. There may be some things, dig myself in there. There may be some things we have to iron out with how we do the children. The group leaders are going to be talked to and you'll be told what's happening and what to do next. And so we'll make sure that there's lots of information, but we're doing that next week. I know some of the younger kids, as things change, they wonder what's going on. It's a bit unsettling. So I wanted to tell you that in advance so you can talk with them. And we're going to start doing less and less of the notices and information from the front. The reason is, we'll waste time doing it, and there's very few people listening. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't mean that in a bad way. We'll edit this bit out before it goes on the web, okay? What I mean is, people are doing things. They're settling their kids down. The kids have got drinks. It's just not a great way of sharing information. Some things we will share that way. We're going to be putting things on our website under the news section. We've got the Grace Church update, and we're going to be getting things out through community groups and life groups. Lots of ways of getting information out. So if you're not here one week, ask your life group leader, look on the web. If you haven't got web access, tell your life group leader, they'll print things out for you. Community group leader, they'll print things out for you. And if they won't, tell me, and I'll print things out for you. Yeah, temptation. Yeah. So I wanted to let you know those things, because they're important to know. But we do need to finish there. Please, if you've got children out there, go and collect them. And we'll be here next week to do the second part.